year where all the big movies are popping out just before Oscar season. Well, it is Oscar season right now because the nominations came out overnight. But before we get to the ceremony on February 25th, and just as these noms come out, we want to discuss who's in there, who shouldn't have been there, who deserves to be there, and who doesn't. And we've got Blake Howard, who you'd know from Gaggle of Geeks here at 2SER, on the line with us right now. G'day, Blake.
Nick, thank you for having me. Hello, folks. How you doing?
Yeah, it's good to chat to you. It's here, you know, we usually hear you on, we used to hear you on So Hot right now on Saturday mornings, but it's good to have a chat with you on a Wednesday drive as well.
Look, it is great to be here on a Wednesday drive and all the more fun to talk about Oscar noms. Guys, like, if you're not familiar, right now they live stream. So if you're crazy enough like me, and you're up very late at night, you can have a live stream of the Oscar nominations as they come out. And the Oscar nominations this year are kind of predictable, slightly weird, and there's only a few things that make me want to strangle every single one of the 7,000 Academy members. So let's maybe start with the cool stuff, like straight up in some of the big noms. Like Black Panther, which was the absolute juggernaut at the cinemas last year, like universally lauded by critics and audiences and made a squillion bucks, is nominated for Best Picture, the most prestigious award in the entire American film industry. It's nominated for Best Picture. Not Avengers Infinity War, definitely not Ant-Man and the Wasp. You're talking about Black Panther's up there. So, like, as a Best Picture nominee, you're like, wow. That is a great badge for that flick. And I think from that Best Picture category, you know, we all knew Roma was going to be nominated. We all knew that A Star Is Born there. Two of the massive, you know, everyone can watch Roma on Netflix right now. A lot of people in Australia, based on our box office numbers, saw A Star Is Born. They've been the two big ones in the conversation for a long time. And it was really only when that kind of, and we're talking about weird choices, extremely weird Golden Globe Awards, that movies like Bohemian Rhapsody and The Green Book are like now in the Best Picture conversation. And you're just like, no.
Yeah, but I never got by Bohemian Rhapsody won Best Drama. It wasn't even in the music category. I'm like, what?
Yeah, let's not go back to that. But, you know, they're the kind of weird ones. You know, Black Panther, Black Klansman has made a huge comeback in the award season. A lot of people are just kind of writing it off. Spike Lee, 20 years ago, at the time we hit these awards, was not nominated for Best Director. And was not nominated for Best Director, but was not nominated for Best Picture for Do the Right Thing. And so that year, Do the Right Thing wasn't even nominated and Driving Miss Daisy won. So it's a crazy, you know, 20-year echo here. Another crazy one, just to go off the books, is writer and director Paul Schrader, who wrote Martin Scorsese's incredible films Raging Bull and Taxi Driver, two of the greatest American films ever made, gets his first nomination for screenplay for First Reformed this year, which is kind of cool. Like, that's... Wow. You know, that's the Oscars going, hey, Paul Schrader, we respect your awesome career. Obviously, this movie is very good. We're going to give you a little bit of a Guernsey for, like, I don't know, making two of the most iconic films ever with Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, right. He must be getting on now.
He is. He's 79 years of age. Still angry, which is good. Which I think leads me into my next point, Nick. We'll go through some of the other big nominees in just a second, but, you know, acting, and people want to know about the acting awards. And this year, like, the races for best actor and best actress have kind of, like, been pretty predictable. You know, Christian Bale for Vice has been the conversation for best actor, really since the start. Bradley Cooper a little bit for A Star Is Born, but mainly for, you know, we thought that A Star Is Born would get a best director nod. He didn't. That's one of the weird ones.
Yeah.
Best actress, a lot of people were like, well, it's got to be Lady Gaga for the longest time. And then Glenn Close with The Wife.
She's never won.
Never won, which is insane. Another insane thing. So really puts her in the hot seat. And Olivia Colman. So that's an awesome race. But if we talked about best actor, the one guy that's missing is Ethan Hawke, who literally gives the performance of his lifetime in Paul Schrader's nominated film, First Reformed. Oh. And I'm looking across the boards here, and I'm like, how does Viggo Mortensen with an absolutely terrible New Jersey accent even get into this nominee category, let alone snub Ethan Hawke? And, no Aussies really at all across the board. But if there was an Aussie that needed to be nominated this year, and I don't know where she'd be squeezed in the best actress, I think Melissa McCarthy would have to be subbed out. I'm sorry, yeah. Melissa McCarthy, but it's Toni Collette. Like, if anyone's seen Hereditary, you probably are permanently scarred for life. And she should have been in this category as well. So yeah, look, overall, it's a, you know, we've got a pretty predictable spread. There's a lot of love going around for A Star Is Born. A lot of love for Roma. A lot more love, I think, than anyone was expecting for The Favourite.
I saw that last week. Yeah, it was all right. It was okay.
It's very sardonic and entertaining. The performances are tremendous. We thought they would get them, but, you know, Yorgos Lanthimos, who's the director, got a director nod. It's nominated for Best Picture. He's done some wonderful flicks. If you check out The Lobster, which is stars Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz, it's just a batty movie, a batty comedy about people who can't find love. So they made you go off to sort of a camp where you have to find it or get turned into an animal of your choosing. So he's been simmering around. He's a great director. All the directors, you know, Adam McKay being nominated for Vice, I think is, you know, probably a nomination really for The Big Short, because I think The Big Short was a far better film.
Yeah.
Alfonso Cuarón, Roma. He's been in the conversation all year.
And for everyone who's seen Bird Box on Netflix, go and watch Roma, because that's right there on Netflix to go. It should be getting more views than Bird Box, right?
For sure. I couldn't agree more. And you know, Pavel Pawlikowski, who directed Cold War, that's another massive one, because in the foreign language category, that's right up there. And to have, you know, this is a, you know, whatever you say about, you know, some people who are snubbed, and I mentioned Bradley Cooper, it's kind of a pretty stacked category. Like, across the boards, we're looking at really phenomenal categories. The big misses, let's talk about the snubs. I've talked a few bit about weirdness.
Yeah.
Most of the you know, the nominations are pretty solid. Weird ones that have been completely snubbed. Regina Hall, who won for Support the Girls at the Golden Globes, getting a lot of critical love and in the SAG Awards, etc. She's not there at all in the nomination. Emily Blunt was nominated for SAG Awards for both supporting actor in A Quiet Place and then best actress in Mary Poppins Returns. She's nowhere to be found.
Snubbed, and she's never been nominated at all, which I was surprised to find.
One of the best working actors in the world. Yeah. Two huge performances this year. Doesn't get a nod. The film that won the Palme d'Or, Shoplifters, is here at the Cannes Film Festival. But Burning, which was a huge film this year, and a whole stack of Sydney siders that have gotten to see it at the Sydney Film Festival, nowhere to be found. That's in a lot of top 10 lists across the board. And two huge female director-driven films. One of them, The Rider, which is my top two movies this year, and Leave No Trace by Deb Granick, are also an independent films that have been buzzed around, just haven't had a chance to get that profile, and people thought they'd be there. So, you know, this is a great fun time of year, Nick, because, you know, like, film geeks, we don't get to bet or punt like sports fans throughout the year. So what happens is we just get to secretly be, like, crazy nutbags sports fans for, like, 3 months, and then we just purge that from our lives and get back to being creative people. But we love a stat, and, you know, there's lots of people, there's lots of punters that are looking at, you know, correlations between who will win director and film, and because Guillermo del Toro won Best Director and Shape of Water won Best Picture, does that mean Alfonso Cuarón is only going to win one of those two big nominations this year? It's fun. This is a fun time of year.
It is, and it's always a bit exciting. I always like to challenge myself as well to go and see all those films that maybe I haven't caught up on before the big ceremony, so that when I see the ceremony, I can make a sort of a justified, you know, pick, because I think here in Australia, we still get this point where we don't always get the movies straight away that America might have got. I mean, it used to be worse. Sometimes the movies would come out after the Oscars. But
I think we're going to be lucky. And if I say two categories that you need to follow Nick's exact ethos on is Best Foreign Language Feature and Best Doco. So, like, there's Capernaum, which is the Lebanon's entry into the Best Foreign Feature, is getting absolutely some of the most wonderful and outstanding reviews, and that's coming out in mid to early Feb in Oz.
Okay.
Shoplifters, I'm not sure.
Oh, I think it's a Golden Age next week, so if you want to catch a Golden Age cinema, they've got a screening now and then.
Yeah, you have to do that. Cold War was at the Sydney Film Fest. I know it had a huge response, and it even had a bonus screening there. Roman's everywhere.
Yep.
Free Solo has had, which is in the documentary features, has been having some runs at Hayden Orpheum, so that's around. Minding the Gap, again, that's a monster movie, not coming out in Oz yet. So keep an eye out on those and put those on your watch list in whatever platform you can find them, because I think that they're always really great. Because I think for the most part, most of what we're seeing in the huge categories, except for maybe Best Actor, which is at Eternity's Gate for Willem Dafoe, most of that other big stuff, and If Beale Street Could Talk, which is sort of mid-Feb as well,
okay.
Everything else is already out. But yeah, there's some stragglers in those ones that I would get along to.
Well, that's really good advice to go and check them out. I'm keen to see Green Book. I haven't seen that one yet, but there's lots of cash up on, especially those foreign language ones if you haven't. It's an amazing category this year.
And this is a great time of year too, because now that they're Oscar noms, check out your local streaming services that you pay for it, if it's iTunes or whatever, because they're all on special. They want you to see them. So check it out. All the big nominees are there. You can have a fun movie inside weekend if it's 45 degrees as they're forecasting. Just stay inside and watch all the Oscar nominees.
Great suggestion. Really, that's great. That's great that they're going to pop them all up too, make them cheap, make you be able to see them. I like that idea. What do you usually do on the Oscar night, like on Monday morning or February 25th during the day? What do you usually do?
Look, there are Oscar parties. My friends do have them. My dear friend Maria Lewis, also a fellow member of Gaggle of Geeks, often puts on an Oscar party with different themed snacks for every category.
Yes.
So if I do something, it is usually that. But if you do, you know, get in a suit, dress up. I mean, there's two weird American things. I'm a sports fan too, so I do like the NFL Super Bowl and the Oscars, just because it's an excuse to hang out with your friends and day drink and watch some entertainment. But no, I'm not sure this year, to be honest. I'm actually gonna be checking out some odds. So I'm hoping the odds are in my favor. I'm getting my preferential ballot in play and having a bet at this time of year, exercising this muscle that I don't usually as a film geek.
The all-important elections can wait till later in the year, because this is the important one coming up. That's awesome. Blake Howe, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER Zabo. People can catch your podcast, One Heat Minute, which I'm going to have to catch up on. You've had 112 episodes and I haven't listened to one yet, so that's my bad. I'm going to get onto that right now.
All good, Nick. Thank you. And there's a lot of catching up to do. And guys, yeah, thank you so much for having me on 2SER on Wednesday Drive.
No worries at all. Thank you, Blake.